Please welcome Danny Newton from Carson.
All right, lower your expectations. Readjust. I'm Danny, and I'm an alcoholic. Room has good acoustics, doesn't it? Do you believe that a society like us gets rooms like this? It's crazy, right? Oh, really nice feeling in this meeting. I turned to my friend Tasia right there and said, "This meeting has a really nice vibe." You know, as I've heard people say, "I've never been to a bad meeting." I have. I've been to meetings that suck. Sucks. People vomiting up at the podium, just, you know, supposed to be hope coming out of here, right? All people look and see all the people doing their jobs in here, man. Commitment, like the vibe in here. If I was new in here, I'd be like, I want to have a commitment here because of the feeling. Welcome to the new people. Congratulations to the people that took chips for every month. Okay. And it's been, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, especially the 1 year, Hannah. That one, that bullet, man, that's a big deal. So what you're witnessing right now is me avoiding vomiting, throwing up my first couple of minutes. Still, I get very nervous, you know, but to keep me on my toes, I wore a cheetah thong. Got this really long tag. So if you see me moving around, just adjusting. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Maybe. Maybe I'm kidding. So you fantastic job on the 10-minute talk, Becker. Fantastic. It is not easy to give a 10-minute talk. Most people get up here and start it as an embryo and have 30 seconds left and go, and then I came to AA and everything's good. She didn't do that. She threw down, and she's a grandma. Right? I mean, you just don't know who you're sitting next to in here, you know? You just have no idea. We clean up so good. You know, you're sitting next to somebody like you and it. Where's Coral? Where are you? Where's Coral? She left? She left. We're being recorded. But you know, you'd be sitting next to somebody and thinking, this woman or this person has no idea how I feel. You go, dude, you have no idea who you're sitting next to in here, you know? So I noticed you used the word crave when you were speaking. And a lot of times when I go, I speak a lot, I speak out of town and I have to throw a suit on a lot. And I'll wait until I get within a couple miles of the meeting. And then I'll go into a Starbucks and I'll change from Clark Kent into Country Action Man, right? Circle and triangle. He does what he doesn't want to do. And he doesn't do what he would like to do. I am Country Action Man. So I go in and I changed and I'm sitting there waiting for my drink. And this woman was, she had her face right up against the glass and she was looking at that, you know, that lemon cake at Starbucks. And her and I were the only ones in the store. And I'm waiting for my drink and she decided to turn to me and said, "Oh, I'm really craving that." And a voice went, "Don't do it, Danny." And the other voice went, "Go ahead." And that voice won. And I said, "Oh, you think you're craving that, huh? Would you blow a guy behind a dumpster in cargo shorts for that?" She went, "My God, no." And I said, "Well, then you just really want it. But I'm on my way to go visit some people that know what craving is. Because boy, do I wish I hadn't worn cargo shorts that night." I'm kidding. Maybe. Maybe I'm not. All right. Settled in. Feeling good. Happy, right? Isn't it great to not be on carpet patrol tonight? I heard you. Yeah, all the tweakers are here. I heard you. I heard the room get excited and move like 4 inches when she started talking about the syringe and the meth. I heard one girl go, Right? The tweakers. How many people in this room? You know, when you go to a meeting, they go, If I've identified myself as an alcoholic, are there any other alcoholics? We did it tonight. And I used to think that's so stupid. But it's not. It's for people that have never been able to say that they're alcoholic when they have 50 people sitting in front of them that have their arms up. They can just go, oh, well, me too. So how many people in here, honestly, have been on carpet patrol in this room? Hey? Now, who in here doesn't know what carpet patrol is? All right, Jacob. Jacob, you don't know what carpet patrol is. Okay. You've been up for 5 days. You're naked. And you may have lubricants all over you. You know why they're laughing, right? And you're holding on to two things, bro. You got a pipe and you got a lighter. Am I right so far?
Yeah.
And you're taking an inventory of the carpet. You're on your knees and you're crawling and you're searching, stopping only when you hear something. The DEA is surrounded by numbers. The dog is a cop. The smoke detector has a HD camera coming off the scene. And you're crawling, Jacob. You're crawling. You're looking for pieces of meth or coke or black tar heroin, if that's your thing. But none of that is in the carpet. You're going to find bagel chips, toenails, drywall, those weird acoustic ceilings. But you're going to find something. And when you find it, where's it going? In the pipe. And you're going to smoke it. You're going to choke because it wasn't anything. It was shit. And some people are, now, there are some people sitting in here. We have this thing built in. It's this automatic separator that says, I never did that. Oh, yes, you did. We all have our form of carpet patrol. We have all done things. When your baby was born, did you ever hold your baby and go, you know what? Oh, I am going to take 20 Klonopin and drink a fifth of bourbon and drive as fast as I can in a car with you in the back seat. You never said that. But how many people in here have driven a car with their child in the car while you were loaded? I sure did. I didn't want to. That's what I did. And that's, uh-oh. Sorry, Zoom people. Here, let me fix you. I got it. I got
it. You just keep making
it. I got it.
It was loud.
By the way, Zoom people, please, next week, get your ass to this meeting. It's way better in person, isn't it? Look, these people are so, and we give out money before the meeting. We give money out. Everybody gets a gold leaf big book. We're gonna need this. So anyway, so we all have our form of carpet patrol, but if you're new, you got this thing that's sitting there, you know, defending your right to drink and use. I never did that. I never did. It wasn't that bad for me. I still have this one vein left right here, you know, whatever, you know. Did you know there are normies that walk amongst us that think a cigarette butt in a drink is a non-drinkable beverage? Can you believe that? I was talking to somebody at our table today. A normie can walk away from a perfectly good drink. I said, I bet if a cigarette butt was floating in a drink, you wouldn't drink it. He goes, no. I go, it's an olive. Right? Right? Right. Okay. So, you know, if you're sitting here and you're new and you're thinking, man, you know what? I never did that. That's the beast. That's the beast. There's our disease. You know, I used to think I was a loser, and Greg sent me a text yesterday, said, please do me a favor, talk about drugs as much as you can, and whenever you can, cuss, because Tim likes it. Well, when I was the only way to say it was I grew up knowing that I was a piece of shit. My father told me I was a piece of shit, you know, I had this leather belt in my house. My father was an Air Force guy. You know, I was a middle child, a scapegoat. Everything was my fault. I had so much potential. I was potential boy. Remember that? You have so much potential. You're the best. Whatever it is you do, you're the best we have when you show up, right? And you have so much potential if only you'd apply yourself. And the first question people would ask me was, what's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Why do you do that? And when I used to get these whippings, you know, he would tell me I was nothing. I was never going to be nothing. And I grew up thinking that. And I came in here knowing that I was a piece of shit, that I didn't deserve a chair, this giant ego. And when I heard people talk about low self-esteem, I thought, oh, I'd like to get some of that. I would love, that would be a step up for me to get low self-esteem, you know, because I had zero. And I was a people pleaser that hated people. Isn't it weird? I need you to love me, but fuck off. You know what I mean? In the movie Barfly with Mickey Rourke, Google it, Zoe. Google it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zoe doesn't know what's happening. There was this poet named Charles Bukowski. He was a great drunk, and Mickey Rourke played him in a movie called Barfly. And Faye Dunaway, they're sitting in a seedy bar, and she says, "Don't you hate people?" And he says, "No, but I seem to feel better when they're not around." Right.
Yeah. Right.
Love me, but stay away. And then screw you for not talking to me, but love me. It's a crazy place to be. Number seven, your chicken's ready. Number seven. They're Zoom. They give out chicken at this meeting. Chicken. So anyway. So I came in here and found out I'm not a loser. I am not a piece of shit. I'm an alcoholic. And I had never read the doctor's opinion in the, if you're an opiate, a kicking opiates, and you can't sleep, the cure to insomnia, right here, knock you right out. Also, the quietest kept secret in Alcoholics Anonymous, the big book. I know you're thinking, I've seen bigger. This is our basic text. We are named after this book, are we not? So in this chat, the first chapter, it's called The Doctor's Opinion. There was this doctor, you know, the treatment for us when we started in 1935 was chain you to a bed if you were lucky. That was it. And this doctor had the cojones, that's for you, to come out and say, I mean, you know, now you can say you're in a 12-step meeting and it's pretty cool. But back in the 30s, to say, you know, I'm an alcoholic is, I think the book calls us the dregs of society, right? This doctor had the guts, the courage to say, these are not bad people. They have a disease. And he didn't sign it in the first edition, right? But he did the rest. So, and he explained, if you want to know what it is you have as an alcoholic, what is alcoholism, you read the doctor's opinion. And it talks about that we have a spiritual malady. And the smallest part, the smaller part of the aspect of my disease is the phenomena of craving that only occurs when I take something. Then all bets are off. Like Carl says, I wouldn't trade my daughter for the first drink, but I sure would for the second one. I didn't mean to burn the only person that loved me. I don't want to be here at the Connections House spending my daughter's Christmas money, but I cannot stop. But the greater aspect of my disease is the obsession of the mind, right? Now, my lineage is Bill W., Chuck C., Norm Alpie, the late great Donald Madden, Earl H., and me. And somewhere along the line, and there's a legion of men after me, somewhere along the line, we started calling the obsession of the mind the beast, which is a great name for it, isn't it? Huh? The beast. And my beast is like this little 5-foot-2 hooker with a gymnastic butt, right? I'd be doing my commitments, sitting right next to you, right? Give my commitment, sitting right there, set up all the chairs, sitting there trying to pay attention, and here she comes. Oh, Daddy. Oh, It's so loud, I'm sure the people next to me can hear it. She's like, let's go get a groom. Just one. And I'm like, yeah. You worked hard today, Danny. You're so manly. You deserve it. You're not like these assholes. Look at these boring, pathetic people with amazing credit scores and millions of friends and integrity. And look at these. You're not one of them. Oh, come on. And then the 10-minute break would happen. Dangerous. And I would just slither away. And as soon as I would take a drink, trust me, she is not a 5'2" hooker with a gymnastic butt. She weighs about 900 pounds. She has abscesses all over her, bad breaths. And as soon as I take a drink, she's like, come on, bitch! Come on! got you, motherfucker! Huh? We're going to 6th and Bonnie Bray, baby! And nothing good happens there. Just a bunch of skinny homies with balloons in their mouth spitting them into your hand when you roll by, right? And look, you know this book, page 36, Jim. Now, if you never read this book, by the way, there's this thing called italics. These are words that lean, right? They look like they're skiing. This means these are important words. And on page 36, it says in italics, suddenly the thought crossed my mind that a little whiskey in my milk couldn't hurt anything. Jim's beach. Oh, Jim. It's milk. It's just milk. Just milk. Six lines down. Thus started another trip to the asylum for Jim. So you're new. You're new and you're having, the beast is taught. Trust me, I know you're filled with bad ideas. And if you want the beast to go away, this is how you do it. Tell someone. Just tell on yourself. Just grab somebody near you and after the meeting go, hey, listen, man, I've been having a lot of bad ideas. I've been keeping a lot of phone numbers in my phone. I've been thinking about getting loaded. Because that's when, you know, they call it a slip. The slip doesn't happen when you let go of the rope. It happens when you start loosening your grip. And the beast don't want you here. The beast wants you out there. Looking for the differences between us. Look what we all have in common. We're all in this room. We're all awake. All of us, for the most part, are probably sober. How many people in here, this is the longest time you've ever been sober? We all have that in common, right? So it's so easy to find the similarities in here, right? And it doesn't matter, look, it ain't about up or down, right? I know there are some places you might go to a meeting and talk about tweaking and stuff and some, listen, if you're looking for a sponsor, stay away from the miserable people. They're doing it wrong. You see a guy sitting over there, it looks like he doesn't want what he has? Neither do you, right? Good luck with that. My favorite page in the book is 132. We absolutely insist on enjoying life. I want to have a good time. This could be my last day on the planet, right? I fit into my Earth suit now, right? I feel pretty good. You know, when a normie asks me, how you doing? And I go, all right. They have no idea that it used to cost me $3,000 just to try to get there, right? Just to feel okay, to get to zero, the absence of pain, right? Because it's not about up or down. There's people in here that like Klonopin, and there's people that just like beer and wine and black tar heroin, and people that like fixing things that ain't broken, you know, and right? All of that. But guess what? It's all about how do I get out of right here, right now? Because right here, right now, I'm terrified. I'm not enough. I'm judging how I feel to how you look, and I'm losing every time. And I'm never going to be like you. I'm never going to be enough. I see, you know, some good-looking dude. I come in a meeting, man, and I'm just all torn up. First time I ever walked into a meeting. Yeah. So when I was 12, I took my first drink. It was Boone's Farm strawberry wine. No grapes in the bottle. You pour it in a lawnmower, it'll run, right? And that thing happened that the book talks about. That thing happened. It changed my perception of reality. I wasn't scared. I wasn't terrified up until that moment. I just felt like I was going to get hit all the time. I felt like I was holding my breath for 12 years, and I finally exhaled. Remember, that's all I was ever going for was to get to, you know? And when I was 10 years old, I sat behind drums. I remember I used to move around a lot in the Air Force. And they'd say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I never once said, "I would like to be on a 5150." If you're not from California, that's a 3-day involuntary hold. You wake up with a catheter in you, right? I never said that's what I want to be. I never said I would like to own everything I'm wearing with holes in my teeth and mats in my hair. No, I never said that. I said I wanted to be the next John Bonham, the next Steve Ferroni, right? A drummer. I sat behind some drums and I could play the drums, right? And when I was, let's see, when I was 17, I went to jail in Texas. My family moved to the Philippines. We laugh at tragedy around here, don't we? We do, because why not? You know, why not? And everybody that was supposed to love me the most moved away and threw me away. And so I was running around in Texas. I don't know if there's any other liars here tonight. I was a good liar. In that same chapter, it talks about being in full flight from reality. I can no longer distinguish the false from the real because I don't know what's real, right? I can't walk up to you and go, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Danny. I'm a piece of shit. You're going to wish you hadn't ever met me. You're going to wish you hadn't recommended me for this job. You're going to wish you hadn't told the landlord to rent me a room. You know, Danny." No. I got to pretend to be something I'm not, right? And so, true part of the story is how I got to California when I was 19. Heard Rod Stewart, Google it, Zoe, was looking for a drummer. So I put my drums that didn't match, right? No cases in the bottom of a Greyhound bus and came out to California and be Rod Stewart's drummer. True part of the story. But then when I got to the bus depot, there was a pawn shop open all night and all my hopes and dreams went into my left arm. But I told so many, I never met Rod Stewart. I didn't make it. But I told so many people for 25 years that I was Rod Stewart's drummer that when Hot Legs would come on the radio, I admire my own drumming. You know, when you're telling somebody some bullshit story and in the middle of you're thinking while you're telling it, did that happen to me? Anyway, right? I don't know. I mean, I could play all of his stuff. We'd go rent a Lincoln Town Car. You'd be my buddy. We'd dress you up like a chauffeur. You'd be in the front, I'd be in the back, pull up to the Whiskey A Go Go. You'd go up to the guy at the door, a guy that looked like him, the bouncer by the rope, and say, "Hey, man, I got Rod Stewart's drummer in the back." Nobody knows what Rod Stewart's drummer looks like. And he'd let us in, and we'd drink for free and get a lot of perks. Right? Angel got their wings. Ain't it fun? Ain't it fun knowing that you're going to be able to drive from here to home and not get pulled over? And if you do, probably nothing's going to happen. What a great feeling that nobody's going to find you blue in the bathroom tonight. Nobody's going to have to bust out the Narcan on you. Because we die. See the empty seats around? Where are these people? There's three people right there in a cell. Designed for 40 people with 100 people, where the only place to sit is on a stainless steel shitter or living in their car, doing things that, you know, that they thought they would never do. Yet here we are. So lucky. We're so lucky. We're lucky. You later, handsome. I got cargo shorts. So anyway. So here I am running around in Hollywood, you know, and it just got worse and worse and worse. 22 years old, I found myself wearing everything I owned with holes in my teeth in Civic Center Park in San Francisco. The only thing I could do to get a drink was to run into a bar and take all the drinks with the cigarette butts in them, take them out back, strain them through my t-shirt, right? Or run into a liquor store and steal the bottle. They kept my drink on the shelf next to the mayonnaise. It was called MD 2020 or Night Train. More grape, more wine with no grapes. I was hiding in a phone booth. Zoe, we used to have these machines called pay phones. You could call someone even without a coin. And back when we had the phone on the wall, everyone answered the phone because it was the only way you knew who was calling. Now everyone's got their phone in their hand and no one's answering the damn thing. Tim has never answered the phone when I call, ever. He just looks at it and goes, fucking Danny, no. Erica's on. Erica in Florida is on Zoom. Hi, Erica. That girl, 27 treatment centers. She's sober. Give it up for Erica. Look, man, I came here to tell you tonight. Somebody took a cake tonight or a chip that said, I'm the guy that's not supposed to be up here. Me too, right? I'm the guy that should not be here, right? I'm the guy that they said you could never do it. I was hiding in a payphone. There was a bumper sticker that said, got a drinking problem? Call Alcoholics Anonymous. And I did. And I went to my first meeting. Some big guy hugged me twice the size of you. He came up to me and said, I love you. Right? I look like a, just like a chick on speed, like a size nun. You know what I mean? Hey, you know how they rock? That guy hugged me and said, I love you, man. I had no snappy comeback for that. Right? And I started 8 years of I sponsor myself. You've seen the people in the rooms with the vein on their forehead, right? The people that aren't any fun. Go to one of those service meetings or something. You'll see them. They'll argue for 2 hours about what kind of cup we should use or something. I don't know. I'm kidding. You want to have fun. It's all about having some fun. Where are we at? 11? Holy sheep shit, Batman. Yeah, no big book, no sponsor, get to the meeting late so you don't have to talk. I mean, it's hard to talk to people. You ever been to a meeting with one door? You know, when you go over to the Canyon Club, thank God they got those side doors because sometimes there are so many damn greeters are scarier than getting in a bar fight. They'll ask you shit like, how you doing? Fuck, I don't know. I'm dying. Just make room. My home group, Seal Beach Speakers, we give about 6 feet. So in case you want to come in and cruise past, you can make it in. Right? And so on my 8th anniversary of untreated alcoholism, shockingly, I drank. Right? I was one of these muscle heads, the MMA fighter, boxer, and I was one of those guys that's so big, the only guy that was impressed by it was another big guy. You know what I mean? Impressing big dudes. How you doing, bro? Hey, do you brush your teeth like this too? And so I'd park my Harley in the doorway of a meeting, and if I didn't like the speaker, I'd crack. I was such a jackass. And here's the thing. I never had a gentle male role model in my life, and I didn't know how to reach out and say to another man, can you help me? Because where I came from, asking for help was weakness. And if you were weak, you were going to get chewed up. And I just didn't know how to do that. When you see a guy at a meeting, the first thing you meet is his neck. That actually means I would like a hug. Slowly. Carefully. So I went to this meeting and I told them AA doesn't work. And I didn't know what AA is, the first 164 pages of the big book. Applying those steps, working them with a sponsor who has worked those steps actively, right? Having a commitment in a meeting, having a home group, you come here so much, they would notice if you weren't here next week. Yes, your phone would ring. Where were you, dude? He has a home group. You get a job in AA. You hear some people, right? You hear some people 5, 6 years. I hope there's good cookies tonight. I hope they turn the air conditioner on. I hope they get better speakers. How about I hope there's new people there for me to talk to? Whoa, what a concept. I hope I can bring something to the meeting instead of being the fucking sponge that I've been my whole life. There's a good place to put the F-bomb right there. A fucking sponge. Just coming in, sucking the life out of the room. Taking, taking, taking. Hopefully, at some point, they say, if you want what we have, what is that? Recovery from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Walking the earth free. No longer is the beast talking to me. She doesn't talk to me anymore. She doesn't exist. Now I get real hookers. So I went away from that. I went away from that meeting. I didn't know what AA was. You know, people say AA doesn't work. Have you actually tried it? Have you done all those things? And I didn't. And I judged AA by its poor representatives, of which I surely was one. I was not a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just because you own a membership to a gym doesn't make you a member of that gym. You must go in there frequently and pick up heavy things and put them back down. So I went out, got on my Harley, took off to Hollywood Billiards, and took a drink, and for 15 years I could not get sober. A lot of shit happened to me. I ended up from the drums to a singer. How many people in here were at the Rockin' Sober at the Laguna Canyon? Yeah. By the way, this is AA related. There's going to be a Labor Day picnic in San Clemente Monday. That same band from Rockin' Sober is playing Monday. So come down, support air service, and have a good time because we rock. The best thing about me is my humility. What makes me so fantastic? So anyway, I had moved from a drummer to a singer, and I had these fantastic all these opportunities where the brass ring was being handed to me, and I slapped it out of my hand. Of course she left. Of course I lost the job. Of course I got kicked out of the band. You know, I'm an alcoholic. And what, they got five?
6:22.
So, you know, I'm pretty smart. There's some smart people in this room. I'm a smart dude. I can build a Harley, put it back together, it'll run. I can wire a skyscraper. I know the words to 20,000 songs. I can play the guitar, play the drums. But when it comes to not drinking, I suck. And apparently, so do you. Right? It got down to where I owned four things: a red-nosed pit bull named Brooklyn, a Honda Civic with no windshield. I was a catch, right? A guitar and some tools. And I was living with this girl named Vicky Smart. Vicky, God bless her, she passed away. When she had 14 years sober, she started taking pain pills and crossed that line where, you know, maybe I don't need to wait 3 hours for my next pill, you know. But Vicky, I was living with her because I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't stand on my own 2 feet as a man. I was living with her, and she would pull around every night. I would drink 10 king size Coronas, 200 ounces of Corona, eat all the Klonopin I can find, and smoke an eighth of Kush, right? And halfway through, Vicky'd pull around and go, "I'm going to a meeting tonight, Danny. Would you like to go?" And I'd say, "Yeah, tell him I said hi." Because I didn't know how to say Vicky. I have a resentment towards Alcoholics Anonymous. Here are the reasons why. And the truth of the matter is, there's no point in me going, Vicky, because I don't know, I will never know permanent sobriety. But I didn't know how to say all that. So I just said, "Tell him fuck you from me, right? I'm tired of going there. People are asking me all the time, how many days you got now, embarrassing me, right? I wasn't feeling unity. I was feeling a lot of division, right? I was embarrassed. I wouldn't go." One night, Vicky pulled around, it was pouring rain. She got out of the car, opened the door, and she said, "If you don't get in the car tonight, you and your dog have to live in your Honda with no windshield." And it was raining. So I got in the car, and she took me to Rodeo in the 90s. Is there anyone in this room that was there? I am not exaggerating. We're talking 500 to 700 people, rock stars, attorneys, celebrities, Jimmy Choo, Dolce Gabbana, Omegas and Rolexes and veneered teeth, and they're all doing better than you. That's what I love coming down here to Laguna. There's no phony people here. They all know they're better than you. You know what I mean? Right? And I'm Pigpen holding two handfuls of loser balloons. And Vicky, why would you bring me here? So I'm sitting next to Vicky, and this guy named Earl was up there throwing down a talk. And for the first time ever in a meeting, I heard the word maybe. Maybe. Maybe what? Maybe you can do it. And I came here tonight to tell you that you can do this. You're new and you've been going in and out. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're sponsoring somebody that can't stay sober. Don't let go. There's a person in there. I asked this guitar player from Zappa one time. I ruined so many projects for him, and he came back. I put this 12-piece band together for the San Fernando Valley Convention, right? They came all over the place, and Ron was in my kitchen. I said, "Ron, how come you never gave up on me, man? I ruined so many projects." He said, "Because I knew there was a Danny in there." See, we don't give up. We don't give up. And I walked up to that man. I said, "Will you sponsor me?" He said, "Be an honor to." And for 15 years, I could not get sober. But he didn't let go of me. When I was at the LA County Jail, you ever been there, Danny? You know how long it takes for somebody to see you for a visit? 7 hours he'd wait for a 2-minute visit. He didn't tell me about AA. He showed me. He did the only thing that worked for me. He loved me. He loved me. Three sides of the triangle. Unity is the body. I bring it to a meeting. I come here and sit with other people that felt like I felt. It's not about alcohol and weed and drugs. It's about I was broken. I was hopeless. I was helpless. I was out. And I came in here and I heard people say, "Oh, dude, I felt like you felt before, but I don't feel that way anymore." Well, how did you do that? Second side of the triangle, recoveries of the mind. I got to work the 12 steps. It's not about stopping. How do I stay stopped? How do I get comfortable in my earth suit so that I don't drink again? Ta-da! I work the steps. When you get there at the bottom, it says something has happened. Because of the actions I'm taking, I've had a change in the way I think. I don't think the same way anymore, right? And now I can close the triangle with the most important part of the triangle. We didn't invent altruism. Our society, who we've looked up to all of our lives, the Dalai Lamas and the John Lennons and the Martin Luther Kings and the Thich Nhat Hanhs and the people here, the pillars that the shoulders that I stand on in Alcoholics Anonymous, it's all about service. You want to know the secret? What's my problem? Selfish self-centeredness. What's the contrary action? How can I help? What do you win if you do all these steps and you sponsor 50 guys and have 30 commitments? You get to walk outside in that parking lot before the meeting, find the person furthest away from the door, and walk up to them and say, "How you doing, man?" That's what you get, right? Is it time for me to close? So I finally, on February 18th, 2008, I told Earl I was done. And I was. And it's a good thing to ask yourself if you're new, am I done? And man, I was, this is how somebody in the room asked me to tell this, and I'll close with this. This is how my maybe turned into fuck yeah. Do you remember that moment when you were sitting in AA and you'd been to 1,000 meetings, but you went, "Holy shit, I think I can do this." Huh? Hannah, that a year in a row. That is a big deal. Big deal. So I'm sitting, you know those meetings you go to where you can't raise your hand, you got to be called on? Like, wasn't enough. I drove my truck here that's dying of alcoholism, too, right? All these listening to people with rich people problems. I'm trying to make it home without blowing my brains out. And I'm listening to, you know, this one. "I'm so mad at my housekeeper." I'm like, "Bitch, you have a house?" You know what I mean? Like, fuck you, man. You know what I mean? Come on. But you can't say that. You have to act better than you feel. Right? And there's always somebody in that room you shouldn't call on. I was the guy. I was the angry guy that Earl finds about 6 months sober, usually beast talking to me, "Danny, oh, Danny," right? It was loud. And this woman decided she was going to call on me. And this is how my maybe turned into hell yeah. Or for Tim, fuck yeah. Tim Ayers, attorney at law. Podcast, right? Yeah. So I'm sitting there, man, and it's a 10-minute share. She goes, "You, would you like to share?" And Earl's sitting right next to me. I go, "Can I say whatever I want?" And he goes, "Go ahead." And you know how they say, "If you shared last week, please pass." They called on the same woman, Nancy, her real name, every week. Nothing exciting ever happened to this woman. You knew you were losing 3 minutes of your life. You weren't getting back, right? Macrame stitches. I go, "Okay, Nancy, no, don't share again. No one gives a shit about your stupid dumb life. Get in a car accident or rob a bank or something." And then I went around the room and I said, "Fuck you, you're an ad. I hate all the challenging dudes. You know, just look, you know what I mean?" No one said anything. I said, "You know what? This guy loves me. This guy right here. All of you, fuck you." If I was on fire, there isn't a person in this room that would pee on me. I stopped. And no one said a word except Margie, two rows behind me. She said, "I'd pee on you, Danny." And that's what happened. The whole room was breaking up, and I was laughing. Normally, I would have ran out, and I was like, ha, 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 and the lights went on. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in AA. I'm in AA. And AA has given me everything in my life is because of Alcoholics Anonymous. This goes so far. If you got dreams, you better dream bigger if you're planning on staying sober. Dream big. How did I know that one day I was going to, in the parking lot at the Canyon Club, stand with a guitar in my hand, playing a Tom Petty song with the drummer from Tom Petty playing behind me? And the only reason that happened is because I'm sober. Can I get an amen? Thank you.